Have you ever had that time in your Christian walk where you begin to contemplate whether or not you were saved? Have you ever thought about that situation? I know that there are things, usually it's when we're facing our own mortality, when we're beginning to look at somebody else's life, maybe at a funeral, maybe it was something that took us off guard. And then all of a sudden we start to think about things that we don't really think as intently about in our day-to-day life. We begin to start thinking about eternal life. Now, I want to share with you at this particular point that life is short at its longest. We're going to take a look at questions about eternal life that come out of the book of 1 John chapter 5. So grab that Bible. I'll see you in just a minute. Hey folks, welcome to the Wednesday Bible study of Central Baptist Church of Oak Ridge, North Carolina. Again, I pray and trust that your day has gone good and that your week is progressing along nicely as the Lord uses you. A moment ago, I asked you about the fact of whether or not maybe you had ever had questions about eternal life. Very often we get to the point where those are things that we start to think about ourselves. Usually it takes place when a loved one or a close friend or somebody has passed away. And there are things that we don't understand, and sometimes our mind starts to swirl around, and then it even with some people it even brings them at times to doubt their salvation. So today what we want to do is we want to look at our scriptures and consider the questions about eternal life. Now, I mentioned just a little while ago that our text is going to be the book of 1 John. Once again, not John's gospel, but 1 John chapter 5, and we're actually going to look at just a few verses. We're going to look at verses 11 through 13. So 1 John chapter 5, verses 11 through 13 reads as this. It says, "And this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God." Let's pray together. And Father, as we come to you now, we're grateful and thankful again for the opportunity that you give us and the time that you allow us today to be able to spend around your word. I pray, Father, that your Holy Spirit would just fill our hearts, no matter where we may be listening from, Lord, that you would help us to take these moments away from life to ponder and listen to what the Holy Spirit has to say to each and every one of us today. And Lord, I pray that as we get through this Bible study, that at the end of it, any of the questions in regard to eternal life or any of the things that may be confusing would certainly be cleared up by your word as we ponder it and look over it and discover it and meditate on it today. Father, use me as your messenger for these moments, that you truly would be the one that's high and lifted up, and we'll praise you for it as we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, now when we look at these verses, there's a couple of things that we really need to consider, particularly when we're talking about eternal life. Most of us know and understand that we are mortals here on earth, that from the moment that we were born and the moment we took our first breath, we began dying. And we know the facts that the Bible tells us it's appointed unto man once to die, and then after this, the judgment. But yet it's something we don't like to really consider. Nobody likes to think about death. Nobody likes to think about a loved one that you know not being around in this life anymore. And like I say, it's heartbreaking. There are times that we have great sorrow in our lives over our loss of a loved one. I say our loss because our loss for a believer becomes heaven's gain. Now, here's something else I want you to understand. As I mentioned just a few moments ago, that life is short, even at its longest period of time. Now, over in the book of Psalm chapter 90, the psalmist gives us a conclusion that life is about 70 to 80 years in length back in that day. Now, on average, that's what our lifespan is today. It's in that same range, about 70 to 80 years. And I know that when people consider that, I mean, every time I say that, somebody goes, golly, Pete, man, my life is almost over, or I'm well into those number of years that the Bible prescribes that we are generally given. Now, that doesn't take into consideration something like, an accident happening or something along the way, but that's just saying the average lifespan, 70 to 80 years, and we're still in that range. Now, Jesus came to offer something better. Now, there's a couple things we need to discuss. You know, when we talk about death, from a believer's perspective, you know, the Bible tells us it is appointed unto man once to die. We all have an appointment with the undertaker. And if unless the rapture occurs, we're all going to die. It's plain and simple. That's a fact that most of us know and understand, even though we don't like to look at it. But as a believer, that is death. You know, we have to think about it in regard to a physical death and a spiritual death, a physical life and a spiritual life. So as a believer, you only die the one death. You die the physical death. You don't die a spiritual death, meaning that you've trusted the Lord and you come into the kingdom, okay? So try to kind of keep those things in mind. I know it might be a little bit confusing, but just bear with me as we go forward. But Jesus came to offer something better, and he came to offer everlasting life or eternal life, as we read in the Gospel of John. Now, when we consider those things, eternal life, here's something that I want you to know today that so often people don't think about. If you are living and breathing and you are hearing my voice today, you are going to spend eternity somewhere. You are not going to essentially cease to exist. There is an afterlife. Whether you're a born-again believer or whether you are not, you are going to live forever, not physically, but in the spiritual sense of that. Now, the question is, which place are you going to spend all of eternity? In the place that Jesus paid for and provided for us that we call heaven, or in that place called hell for those who reject him? So the bottom line is the grave, the physical grave, is not the end of any of us. And like I said, if you're living, breathing, listening to my voice, you're going to spend eternity somewhere, one place or the other, either heaven or hell. I like what a fellow said one time before when he said that to a person. He said, yep, he said, you're going to spend eternity somewhere. It's either going to be smoking or non-smoking, one of the two. And I think you guys kind of understand that little jest that's in there. But yet what happens as we go forward, there are human questions that we have about living forever. Yeah, I mean, some people can't wrap their mind around that, and I know sometimes it's difficult to do. So let's consider what some of the questions are, or some of the ones that I've heard over my time in ministry in regard to living forever. And one of the questions that I often get is, where is eternal life found? And throughout conversations with people, that I have found that people search for eternal life in so many different places. Whether it's been you or whether it's been somebody you know or something that you've seen maybe in media or something published. But have you ever noticed that people are looking to be able to live forever in so many different ways? One of those ways is preserving the body in hopes of eternal life. What about the one where you've read before where people are talking about freezing the body in hope of eternal life? I think they call that cryogenics or something to that nature. And yet people are trying to find all these ways to be able to just live forever. You know, a lot of people are sitting there thinking, when they even look at it on the spiritual side of things, there are people who say, well, good works is what's going to get me eternal life. That's what's going to get me gain, and that's what's going to get me into heaven. And they feel like that what happens is at the end of life that God's going to sit there and look at the ledger book, and if there are more things on the positive side of the ledger rather than the negative side of the ledger, then all of a sudden the good's going to outweigh the bad, and God's going to say, come on in because you've been a good person. Folks, that is not right. That's not how it works. That's not what salvation's about. That's not what God teaches, and that's not what Jesus went to Calvary's cross for. We know that verse that says we're saved by grace through faith, and that not of ourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So right there, the word itself tells us that we do not gain eternal life through good works. Now, there are people today also who are going through religious rituals thinking that they're going to gain eternal life. Now, what might that be? You know, for some people, it's church. They say, well, I'm a good person and I go to church. And because I go to church, then I'm going to be one of those that's going to be ushered right into heaven. No, folks, it doesn't work that way either. You know, there are people who sit back and say, well, you know, I'm a religious person. Well, what does that mean? How do you define that? You know, people who are members of the Church of Satan are religious also. Religion is more of a descriptor. You know, my thing is it's about loving Christ. It's about being Christian, meaning Christ-like. It's about following His word and His will. It's not about being religious. It's not about a bunch of religious things that we do that are going to gain us eternal life. You know, all of the above things that we have talked about fall short of the goal of having the opportunity to spend eternal life in heaven. And I cannot tell you time and time and time again how many people believe that some of those things that we just mentioned up to this point are things that are going to gain them eternal life and things that are going to get them into heaven. Sometimes you just have to sit back and say to somebody, look, none of those things that have been mentioned are what's going to get you there. And usually people have that confusing look on their face, like, okay, well, then how do I get there? You know, well, you know, where is eternal life found? Well, the one thing that I can tell you that I know for a fact is this, is that eternal life is a gift from God. God has given to us eternal life. He has given that to us through Jesus Christ, His Son, through His resurrection after His crucifixion on Calvary's cross. Yeah, you see, the gift of God is eternal life. He has given that to us. It's not something that you can earn. There's not something that you can do to gain it. It's a simple gift. I've said this so many times in the past, and people just have a hard time with that because they just don't understand how somebody could do that, how God could sacrifice His only Son for them because He loved them that much. They can't fathom that kind of love whatsoever. But yet I've always said at Christmas time, if somebody came up to you and said, hey, look, I got a little something for you. Here's a gift. And they reached out to hand it to you. What are you going to do? Yeah, well, hopefully you're going to reach out and accept and receive that gift. That means there's something you have to do. You have to reach out and accept and receive that gift. Yeah, nobody I know, if I've ever taken them a gift, has said, well, thank you, and just walked away. No, they've taken the gift. They're excited about what it contains. They're excited about what's in it. And notice the Bible, throughout the Bible, it tells us that the gift of God, the gift, you get that? The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So eternal life is found in Jesus Christ. This life is in God's Son. Jesus purchased eternal life for us on the cross. You know, so many times we sit back and say, well, salvation is free. Well, yeah, I like what somebody had said before. They said salvation is free, but it's not cheap. It cost Jesus the opportunity to lay down His life and then pick it back up again through the resurrection, that sin, death, and hell might be conquered. But yet Jesus purchased our life. He has done everything that needs to be done for us to be able to gain eternal life in that place called heaven. Jesus not only did everything to purchase you and I, but He also guarantees eternal life through His resurrection. It's a promise. It's something that you can hold on to. Now, as we started our Bible study, I said before that there may be some of you who at times you have questioned, you know, your salvation and you've wondered. Bear with me, because I think there's going to be some things in here that I hope will change your life forever if that's you. But what is the other thing that we see in regard to eternal life? The other question that I've often heard is, when does eternal life begin? And essentially that's approached in our text down here in verse 12, where verse 12 says this, "He who hath the Son has life. He who does not have the Son does not have life." Now, some people would sit back and say, well, okay, well, how does that answer the question of when does eternal life begin? Think about that statement, or think about that verse. It says, "He that hath the Son hath life." Eternal life begins when you have the Son. Eternal life is then an immediate possession. So when does that take place? When you gave your life to Christ, when you said, yes, Lord, I understand I'm a sinner and I need a Savior, I'm asking you to come into my life and save my soul, you immediately were possessed by the Holy Spirit. You were possessed by the Son. Now, we could get into a talk about the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, three personalities, one, you know, in one. You know, so the Father is the Son, is the Holy Spirit. So eternal life begins when you have the Son. He who hath the Son, according to verse 12, hath life. You know, we don't wait until death to receive eternal life. It is something that you and I have as born-again believers as we walk through this earth, as we do what God has called us to do, as we work, as we enjoy time with our families, as all the things that we do. If you've trusted Christ, you have that Holy Spirit in you. Notice what the Word had told us before. He says that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. This is a temple. Your body is a temple that is walking around of the Holy Spirit. So he who hath the Son, he who hath Christ, has life. And it's something that's immediate. You don't wait until death to essentially receive eternal life. So a lot of people have come back and said, okay, well, if that's the case, and if he who hath the Son hath life, how do you get the Son? Well, we receive him by faith. Now, once again, there is that big word, faith, that you have heard over the past several weeks that we have just been talking so much about. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Believing in something even though you can't see it, even though you can't necessarily reach out and touch it. We receive Christ by faith. Now, upon receiving Christ, we are justified according to Romans 5:1. What does that word justified mean? I remember in undergrad Bible college, one of the professors said justification. And he said, you can break that down kind of the way it sounds. Justification, just as if I'd never sinned. So upon receiving Christ, we are justified, meaning just as if we had never sinned. He has taken, his blood has wiped our sins completely off of the face of this planet. And the word says, though our sins be as scarlet, he has washed them white as snow. What a fantastic promise that you and I can claim. So, you know, at that moment, upon receiving Christ, when we're justified, at that moment, we have peace with God. We have peace that no matter what happens to us, we are one of his children. No matter what happens in life, we're going to spend eternity with him. And that's a promise that we can take to the bank because the Word gives that to us as a promise. Now, you know, at that moment, it's what we call being born again. Sometimes you'll hear it through preachers or churches or whatever. They'll say somebody's being saved, somebody's being born again. At that particular moment, when we call upon him and when we trust him, at that moment, we are born again. And at that moment, we receive eternal life right then. Yeah, that's why I've said so many times that your whole life can change by simply accepting Jesus Christ, and it happens right then at that particular moment. Now, that doesn't mean that life's always going to just get easy for you. That doesn't mean that everything is going to be a bed of roses. In fact, the Lord tells us the opposite of that. He says that, you know, when we trust him, things are probably going to get even tougher. And I know that's not what people want to hear, but yet the Lord never deceived us. You know, he never said, oh, okay, well, you do this, you know, things are going to get better. No, but here's the difference. The difference is, even though things may get tough and sometimes even tougher, you're going to have that one that's going to give you peace, that's going to walk through each and every trial, through each and every circumstance, and through each and every situation with you, and also lead you into a direction that's designed to draw you closer to him. So what a refreshing thought that at the moment that we receive Christ, we receive eternal life. You see, to reject Christ is to refuse eternal life. That's what it really boils down to. Now, so often we use that word eternal life interchangeably. You know, sometimes we're talking about, you know, the kingdom of heaven, you know, like with the statement that I just said, you know, at that moment we receive eternal life. You have eternal life. If you're breathing today, you have eternal life. Like I mentioned earlier, it's just where are you going to spend the eternity part of your life, okay? But when you receive Christ at that particular moment, you will have eternal life in the place called heaven that he's going to prepare for you and I. And to remember, to reject Christ is to refuse his spiritual new life, his spiritual eternal life. To reject Christ means you're still going to have eternal life. It's just that you're going to spend it all in hell, in a place of torment, in a place which burneth with fire and brimstone forever, according to the Word of God, a place where there is no rest and where there is always weariness. You know, notice, think about that statement a minute. To reject Christ is to refuse eternal life. And the Word says, he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Let me carry you back over to verse 11 again, because I think it's critical and important. It says, and this is the testimony that God hath given us eternal life. That's what we've been talking about. And this life is in his Son. He who has the Son, Jesus Christ, has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. You know, so when you think about that place, those two places, actually heaven and hell, he who has the Son has life in heaven. He who does not have the Son does not have life, meaning you're still going to spend eternity. You're just going to spend it in that place that's called hell. You need to receive Christ and have eternal life right now. If you've never done that, man, I'm just begging you, just stop what you're doing. As the Holy Spirit has convicted your heart, stop what you're doing right now and just simply pray and ask the Lord. Say, Lord, you know what? I realize today I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. Come into my heart and save my soul. Help me, Father, to live for you. And I will make you a promise that if you did that and you truly meant that from your heart, not just your lips, not just giving it lip service, but if you meant that from your heart, then the Lord has saved your soul. Now, a lot of us know exactly what I'm talking about. You've been through that. You've been down that road maybe more times than you should have. And then what happens is all of a sudden, whether it's circumstances in life, whether it's situations or whatever it may be, all of a sudden, doubt begins to creep in. If I were to ask you right now, how many of you all have ever doubted your salvation? I would be willing to say that if you were honest, probably 100% of you at some time along in your faith journey, you have doubted whether or not you were really saved. Some of you, some of them that have been honest with me said, man, I got saved every week. I went down to the altar every week. I prayed with the preacher every week. You don't have to do that, but what happens is you have to consider what is it that's creating the doubt within your heart. So the question comes, how can one have assurance of eternal life? Well, guess what? Verse 13 of our text gives us that. And if you struggle with that, I want to encourage you, write this particular passage down. And that passage is actually 1 John chapter 5, verse 13. It says this. It says, these things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. Did you get that? Let me go back and slow that down a little bit. These things I have written to you who believe in his name. That's a key. Do you believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God? It says that you may know, not that you might question, not that you might doubt, that you may know for a fact, 100% sure, that you have eternal life. You see, folks, this was the purpose of John's epistle. If people would say, well, what would you say the purpose of John's epistle was? It would be this, that ye may know that you have eternal life. Not that you guess you do, not that you think that you do, not that you have those doubts or questions along the way, but that ye may know that you have eternal life. John wanted God's children to be absolutely 100% sure that they knew the Savior Jesus Christ, that they were absolutely secured in the fact that knowing him will provide eternal life in that place called heaven with him. John stresses the present possession again. He's stressing that. You know, assurance comes from believing promises of eternal life. Now notice what I said, how do we believe those things? We believe them by faith. There's that word again. Believing in something even though you can't touch it or see it. The substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So, you know, assurance comes from believing the promises of eternal life, meaning that you believe that God is who he is, that you believe that Jesus came to this earth and lived that 33 sinless years, and that he went to Calvary's cross the only perfect specimen to ever walk this earth, and that he laid down his life willingly and then picked it back up again on the third day through the resurrection, and he conquered sin, death, and hell, and he was the perfect once-for-one-and-all sacrifice for each and every one of us. And today, he offers us that salvation if we will only believe in him, if we will only trust him. Folks, Jesus is not going to force his way into your heart. He's not going to force his way into anybody's heart, but he gives you the opportunity to believe on him and to trust him, to believe that God is who he says he is, that he's going to keep his promises, and that he is going to keep his word. Do you do that? If you have those doubts, if those are things that you are struggling with, that would be my first question for you. Do you believe those things? Do you believe that God is who he said he is? Do you believe that Jesus really is who he said he is? Do you believe in what he accomplished on Calvary's cross and through the resurrection? Do you really believe that? Do you believe that he's going to keep his word? And if you do, then you can rest assured that if you have done what the word tells us we need to do, then salvation is not something that you sit back and say, well, I think I'm going to be in heaven, or I hope I'm in heaven. No, you can say, I am going to be in that place called heaven, where he's going to prepare a place for us, that where he is, there we might be also. We can rest on his promises of eternal life, because we trust him. And how do we trust him? There's that big word again, by faith. Substance of things hoped for, evidence of things not seen. Let me ask you this question. Are you sure that you have eternal life? You know, sometimes what happens is, maybe you've gone to somebody and you say, well, hey, did you do, you know, A, B, or C? And they say, oh, yeah, I did it. And then you look at them and you go, are you sure you did it? And then they're like, well, yeah, all of a sudden they begin to start second guessing. Satan loves to do that to God's people. You know, somebody may come up, or even, you know, Satan himself or one of his little henchmen comes up and says, well, are you sure you're going to heaven? And you're like, yeah, I'm going to heaven. And then he goes, are you sure? I mean, you think heaven's going to take a person like you? I mean, look at your life. Look at the things you're doing. Look at the sins that are happening in your life. And look what's taking place. Are you sure you're going to spend eternity in heaven? And then all of a sudden we start to buy into Satan's little lies and his temptations, and we go, well, you know, I'm pretty sure I am. No. It goes all the way back to believing that God is who he says he is, and he's going to do what he says he's going to do, and that if we trust him, it's going to be taken care of. I want to share this as we kind of wrap up our Bible study today. I still remember hearing one of the, to me, what I feel like is one of the greatest preachers that ever walked the face of this planet, in Dr. Adrian Rogers. I was hearing him one time at a convention when he spoke, and he was given, you know, part of of his testimony, and he was talking about when he was in Bible college, and he, a lot like you, a lot like me, at times had some doubts in his life about his salvation. He said he remembered walking home from Bible college one night, and he was struggling with that. And he got to the corner, and he said, you know, he said, today I'm going to draw a line in the sand. And he said, if I truly believe that God is who he says he is, if I truly believe that he sent his only begotten son for me, and if I truly believe that this word is everything that God said it would be, and that he's going to live through us in this word, and he's going to give us the Holy Spirit, if I'm going to believe all of these things, then I'm not going to look back. Today, I'm going to exercise that faith, and I'm never, ever going to look back again, because I know without any shadow of a doubt that I am saved because I have trusted Jesus Christ. And this passage today that we've discussed nails that home, that you may know that you have eternal life. So if that's you today, I'm going to ask you to draw that line in the sand. Now, first of all, I want you to make sure you truly have trusted in Christ, that you haven't gone by one of the methods we mentioned earlier, that, oh, I'm a good person, or, you know, I'm a good religious person, or my ledger has more stuff on the good side than the bad side. Throw all that away, because that don't matter. The biggest question is, have you confessed before the Lord that you are a sinner, that you need a Savior? Have you said, Lord, I want you to come into my heart and save my soul, and I want you to help me live for you? If you've done that and you meant it, then today I'm asking you to throw all those doubts away. Draw that line in the sand and say this: I believe God really is who he says he is. I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe there's a place in heaven for me, and I am never going to doubt again. I'm not going to let Satan put that in my head, because the Word of God says I can know, capital K, capital N, capital O, capital I can know that I am saved. Will you rest in that assurance today? Will that give you peace? I know it gave me peace. I know that according to Dr. Adrian Rogers, it gave him peace as well. And he never, ever looked back, and neither have I. I know that heaven is my home. Are you sure that you have eternal life? Make sure by coming to faith in Christ today if you've not. And as always, if you need any help with that, if you need somebody to talk to, somebody to pray with you, please contact us through our website. It's listed on the screen here, but our website is www.oakridgecbc.org. I would love to be able to have that conversation with you and help give you the assurance. Or if you don't have that assurance and you cannot have that assurance, then I trust that I can point you in the direction of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that when our conversation's over with, you will know without any shadow of a doubt, you will spend eternity with Him. What a great passage. I hope and pray that you'll put a marker in here, you'll jot this down somewhere in your Bible so that if those doubts start to try to creep in again, you can go to these passages and read them and through faith have the assurance that God has already taken care of all of it, and that all you have to say is, Satan, get thee behind me. I'm not going to listen to your lies in my life anymore. Listen, I'm going to pray for you in just a moment. I want to kind of give you what our scripture reading for this week is going to be so that we'll be prepared for next week. This week, we're actually going to be looking at passages in Acts chapter 10, so I want you to kind of study Acts chapter 10. And next week, we are going to discuss from sincerity to certainty. Once again, there's that certainty we're talking about, but from sincerity to certainty out of Acts chapter 10, and particularly verse 42. So I hope you'll join us next week when we have our Wednesday Bible study. And by the way, if you don't have a place of worship, if you don't have a church home, we would love for you to come visit us at Central Baptist Church. We're located at 1715 Highway 68 North in Oak Ridge, North Carolina, right across the street from the Oak Ridge Military Academy. And our services start at 10:45 a.m. We would love to have you come by and worship with us in spirit and in truth. And be sure to find me, introduce yourself. Say, hey, look, man, I caught you online. I just wanted to stop by and see you. We would love to be able to have you in the house of the Lord with us this coming Sunday at Central Baptist Church. Let's pray together. Father, as we come to you now, I'm so grateful and thankful that I don't have to guess about whether or not I'm going to have eternal life in heaven. Lord, I'm thankful for your word, which is true, Lord, which is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Lord, I'm grateful for what you give us and the way that you give us evidence and you back it up that as your children, we're going to spend eternity with you in that place that's described in your word as a place where there's no more sorrow, no more suffering, no more tears, where the streets are gold and where you have gone and prepared a mansion for each and every one of us. What a glorious day that will be when we have that opportunity to step into your kingdom and see you face to face. So, Father, right now I pray that for each and every one of your children, they can know for a fact or within their heart, they will put the struggle to rest today, that they will truly know for a fact that they have trusted you and that they will spend eternity in the kingdom with you and with us and with all the other believers. Lord, if they struggle with that, I pray that you will send the help that they need to help point them in the right direction through your word. Lord, just give us a great, great week in your name. Help us look for the divine appointments you have lined up for us for the rest of this week, and help us to be a blessing in somebody's life. And Lord, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, folks. I trust and hope that you're going to have a great week, and I look forward to seeing you this Sunday if you're around here. If not, I'll catch you next Wednesday on the Wednesday Bible study of Central Baptist Church at Oak Ridge, North Carolina. God bless you. Have a great day.